Hi, welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Sherry McConnell from A Quilting Life.
And I'm Chelsea Stratton from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And we're happy to be with you here today. This episode is airing on Monday, December 7th, and we are taping it just a couple days in advance. So welcome to the podcast.
Can you believe it's December?
I can't believe it. It is December. It's here.
December. And yeah. I really can't believe it.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So today's quilts. On the table, we have a quilt called Horizon, and this was made using our Balboa collection. And this one's really fun because it uses a jelly roll and a honey bun mixed together. And those are two pre-cuts that I love using. And so being able to put them together was a lot of fun. So this quilt was a lot of fun to make. And the quilt on the wall is a favorite Christmas quilt of mine. This one is called Under the Tree, and it's fat quarter friendly. And I use this, I made this using our Walkabout collection. So that feels like a lifetime ago.
I know, such a long time ago.
A long time ago. Well, it's like truly not too long, but it feels like it. So this one's a lot of fun to make too, and perfect for Christmas. My daughter, it was actually on her bed. And before I came over here, she was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I need this quilt tonight." And she's like, "You are not leaving that at grandma's." I said, "Okay, I promise I'll bring it back home." But yeah, so this quilt is also my $5 pattern of the month for December. So yeah, lots of fun things for quilts today.
Yes, I love them. So I am sharing a new find, and I'm super excited about it because Chelsea doesn't know about it. I have it hidden under the paper here, but what happened was a couple weeks ago, I ordered something for myself, and the Etsy shop, I ordered it from Terry at Curry Bungalow. She's the one that makes the really cute pin cushions that I've shown several times. Anyway, she sent one for Chelsea, so it's a sewing machine key fob. It has this really cute ribbon with Singer sewing machines. And then it's a key fob.
Oh my goodness.
And isn't it just like beautifully made?
She is the sweetest. Oh, it is beautiful. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
It's gorgeous. And yeah, I was so surprised when I opened the package and she had a note in there. The other one is for Chelsea.
That's so sweet of her. Yeah, Thank you.
I thought it was really goodness. Fun. So if you're looking for a sewing themed key fob, we'll put a link in the description for these.
And it truly is like so beautiful and feels so well made.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. It was so sweet of
so
her.
Fun. So that's the new find.
Oh my goodness. That makes me so happy. That was very sweet of her.
Yes. Thank you, Terry.
I love surprises.
Yeah. It was fun to open.
Oh my goodness.
Do you have anything you want to share what's new with you or?
I was actually thinking about that today because I feel like right now, this part of the season, I'm not really working on, well, I am. See, that's like the hard part is I set a goal to really like spend December with my family and not, you know, put too many things on my plate. But there are exciting things that are new that will be coming soon. Mom and I just finished designing our 13th fabric collection, and though that won't come out till later next year, it was really cool, you know, and just to kind of look back on the last five, almost 6 years and just see how far we've come together as a team and just, designing fabric together has been really cool. So it was kind of, it was fun. And then, we just were laughing today because we were working on some stuff for the next fabric line, the 12th. That'll be our 12th.
Yes. Yes. The 12th.
Yeah. And just something funny happened. Like I had done a write-up for the collection after it and not the collection I was supposed to be doing because my brain is just like, I don't know.
That's off. Okay.
Yeah.
It's December brain of 2020, right?
Yeah. So just like,
yeah, I know.
The things that are new that are coming is just new fabric and patterns next year, 2021, guys.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like that's kind of, I'm working on some things for 2021 as well, but I'm really trying to, like Chelsea said, kind of spread things out, keep my days more simple so I can relax some this month. And I've been using all the tricks in the book with time management to kind of work my schedule into the way I want it. And I've been really happy with it. So I'm getting a lot done, but I'm not feeling stressed. So that's good.
You are the queen of time management.
Well, I read
she really is.
I read somewhere that you won't have stress unless you're late to meet a deadline as far as like work-related projects go. So if you can just keep yourself ahead of those deadlines, then you can eliminate a lot of stress.
So I have so much to learn from you.
I'm trying to do things early. So
de-stress is like what I need.
So, okay, well, we have a lot of great questions today. I actually got a lot from my email, a lot of, that's great. That really is the best way to contact me personally, is just through my email. And I check that more frequently than anything else. I don't always check the Facebook messages. I don't always check the Instagram messages, but I check my email every day. So thank you for all those questions that came in on the email. And then I got some from the comments in the last podcasts, and that's a great place to leave questions as well, I feel like.
We both see those, so that's good.
Yeah, and then I did get some. I did put a shout out on Instagram and got lots more questions from there too. So we have a great question bank to work with for the next couple of podcasts.
Yeah, a lot came in, and they're good questions. Get you guys top-notch questions here.
Yeah. We're going to start out. One actually came in for Billy. So, and I guess we might end up making that a regular feature, questions for Billy right at the top of the podcast.
We really should. We should make it a segment of the podcast.
So this first question, then I'll let him answer it, is what camera do you use? Is there any advice you'd give to someone who wants to start a quilting YouTube channel but might be intimidated by the tech? And I'm super grateful he can answer this because we're intimidated by the tech.
Okay, so the camera I'm using right now is actually the Canon 90D. It's a fairly new DSLR camera. Actually, Chelsea sort of recommended it to me for photography reasons for my mom, but I looked into it and it seemed pretty good for video as well. But for a long time, we didn't have, I mean, that's a pretty nice camera, but for a long time, we didn't have anything nice. We've just been using iPhones and iPads. Just whoever had the nicest iPhone in our family, we were sort of using that for a while.
Passing it around.
Yeah. And, so, cause I've just been learning as I go, you know, the editing process, the shooting process. I'm still trying to figure out how to like make the lighting work good for a lot of the videos we do. So I think if you do want to start a channel, start anything, just sort of start with what you got. I mean, a lot of phones actually can shoot really good video. One thing with my mom is we use a lapel mic because she's sort of soft spoken. So I felt that the audio helps with, you know, we just have a mic that she can plug into her phone and can grab the audio and put that with the video. So I'm really just learning as I go, but right now we're using a Canon camera and I'm liking it so far. So
yeah,
I think it does a great. I think it shoots well.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it for my photography too. I can see an improvement in my photographs, not based on me, but based on the camera.
Yeah, so for sure.
I would love to get some more training on that as well. So, okay.
Oh, and one update I should say, though, is that hopefully by like January, February, we'll have a multi-camera shot for this podcast. So we'll have more than just one shot here, and it'll incorporate camera and some phones, but hopefully it'll all look pretty good. I'm still working. That's sort of my next project for the podcast.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be good for the videos, too.
Yeah. I was laughing a little bit because, well, I thought it was sweet. A lot of the comments on the YouTube were talking about Billy and how they enjoyed, you know, listening to him. And people were like, we want to see Billy.
Right.
I was like, laughing so hard. I'm like, oh my goodness, they want to see you. So
maybe someday.
Yeah. Someday, guys. It's a mystery.
We'll have him sit at the table for a minute or something. Okay, so we do have lots of questions to get to.
Lots of questions.
Yeah, so the first one I feel like we can answer pretty quickly just because my answer to it is just straight from my quilter. So it says, I have listened and watched other quilters' YouTube videos, and I have to say that there are so many opinions of what side of the batting you put up and what side you put down. Can you please tell me what you both do? Bumpy side up or down, and why? And my quilter, who quilts the majority of Chelsea's quilts too, told me that the bumpy side goes down towards the backing, and the smooth side is underneath the wrong side of the quilt top.
Yeah.
So, and that's really all I know about
that. There you have it, guys.
But she told me that for when I do quilt small things at home for myself.
That's what she told you to do.
Yeah, I asked her, and so that's what she told me.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I have some other friends that quilt for me, too. I guess I'll have to question them. Yeah, Val and Gail.
Which way do you put your batting?
Okay.
Okay, so is this from the same person? Because it says...
I think it is. That's
okay.
Yeah.
I also have a question about wide backing. Again, the debate is out because they say that wide backs have more sizing in the fabric. Do you recommend washing this first before you use it in your quilts? So I feel like with Modas, I have never felt the need to ever wash any of their... to pre-wash any of their fabrics. I did it on flannels, and honestly, it didn't shrink crazy. I was really impressed because I had read that about flannels, but I just wouldn't think that you would need to pre-wash the wide backings. I don't know if you feel differently.
Yeah, no, I feel like you shouldn't wash the backing unless you've pre-washed all the fabrics for the front of your quilt. I feel like you should do the same thing with
that's
both
a good
of,
rule
them.
Of them.
So that's, and I honestly don't use a lot of the really wide backings. Sometimes I feel like it would be a little bit more convenient, but I haven't really been using them, so I haven't noticed that either.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Next question. I was wondering if you and Chelsea would talk about your favorite quilting magazines, which ones you like and or subscribe to. And I'll just start. I have two, well, actually three, I guess, that I really like, but they're all published by the same company.
Yeah.
So I love American Patchwork and Quilting. I feel like that's the go-to. Don't you think?
That was my number one.
They appeal to all different types of quilters. They always have modern projects and more traditional projects.
Good mix.
Yeah. I love them. Their other magazine, Quilts and More, which I wish you could get in a subscription and have it come to your mailbox, but you can't. You have to. It's newsstand only, as far as I know. And they have a lot of more simple projects geared to make it in an afternoon or make it in a weekend. And I love their magazines, too.
Yeah, really well done, put together.
Yeah.
Fun projects.
And the third one is, it's called... wow, I don't know if I can get the name right, but it's their quilt sampler magazine where they highlight 10 different quilt shops.
Yes.
And so they show you pictures of the inside of the quilt shop, and the quilt shops who are featured present a pattern. So you get like 10 patterns in the magazine, and you get to see quilt shops from all over the country. And I feel like I've been reading that for a long time, too, before I really had the chance to travel and see a lot of quilt shops. It just really showed me what other quilt shops were like. And so those are my top three. And it's so funny. It's so sad because the quilt sampler and the Quilts and More are sometimes hard for us to find in our small town. And I used to love going to Quilt Market, and I could
get them there.
Get those issues there.
Yeah.
At the American Patchwork and Quilting booth. And that's what I would always read on the airplane on the way home was the latest quilt sampler.
Yeah.
And quilts and more.
Every time.
Yeah.
I normally had my headphones in. So yeah. mom reads on the plane.
Yeah.
Mine were the same. I love American Patchwork and Quilting. I love Quilts and More. I also love, it's called Love Patchwork and Quilting.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why is it's like really modern. Like,
yes.
Has a lot of modern projects. And so there's a lot of fun designers I love that are normally featured in that magazine because they're more modern.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That just like made me think of something to ask you. Do you consider yourself more modern than traditional as a quilter?
Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm right in between. I feel like I truly appreciate both so much. But yeah, I would say I lean modern. You'll notice that a lot of my designs are a bit modern, but just with a traditional feel too. Like, I feel like I'm right in between. And you know that with my home too. Like, like decor style, I'm like right in between. I mix both. So, I can't choose, you guys. Yeah.
No, I thought that was a fun question.
Yeah. Okay, so do you have a list of places that we can take fabric to donate? I would say just anywhere local. Mom, you just donated when you moved to a local.
When we moved, we gave about half of our stuff to a local senior center and the other half to our church's charitable donation. Oh, I guess we had three places we took stuff. We also did a local kind of charitable. Yes.
Yeah. Down in downtown where I live.
So yeah, we took stuff all three places and I think they all liked it. But I think if you know someone who belongs to a quilt guild,
that's a great idea.
Great option, because then they can take the fabrics, and every quilt built guild meeting that I've been to all over the country, there's always a table set up with things that have been donated that you can just take. And
that's awesome.
If you can contact a guild, I'm sure they would be happy to take your extra fabric.
If you have someone local and
So
we're in a bit smaller town, so I feel like the three that you donated to are all ones I would have thought of. So
right, and then I know one of my quilters. I have some stuff that's piling up again, and she said, "Oh, bring it to me. I know this group, and they do all charitable quilts." And so she's going to give some stuff to them. But
I have some.
So
I'll bring it over.
If you just ask around at your local quilt shop or find a local quilt guild, that's the best way to find the best places to donate.
Yeah.
So,
this one's so sweet. I have your quilting life planner and love it. That's very kind to say about mom's planner. Could you recommend a daily planner? So I feel like we're both big planner people.
Yeah.
And my first recommendation is always One Canoe 2. They're a paper products company, and I've been ordering their daily planner for 3 years now. Almost 4 years. I love it. I think it's great. So, and it's perfect for me for homeschooling too. So, yeah.
That's really good to know.
Yeah.
I might need to borrow that for you because I'm actually writing a blog post on this soon. And so I didn't even think about including that one. So I would love to.
Yeah. I love theirs. I've used them, lots of room, space to write. And that's what I need. Like, I'm a list maker. So.
Okay. Do you already have the 2021?
I don't. I need to get it.
Okay. Maybe I could look at one of your old ones.
So,
yeah. And on that topic, I've kind of switched back and forth between the Erin Condren planner.
Oh, yes. Hers are good.
I love hers. She has lots of different styles and that she has some different options now that she didn't used to have. And then I also really like the Get to Workbook planner. It's really bare bones, basic, just, you know, gray or tan or black. It's not flowery. So
I like that, the neutral.
It's very neutral. I also like the Rifle Paper Company
planners. Great.
They have tons of different options. And really, it just depends on how much you want to write in it and how much, if you don't think you're going to write in it every day, I feel like you can go for simple and smaller and save space and have something that's lighter that you're more likely to take with you. But if you're writing in it every day, then you do need those with big space. I'm going to review all of these. And then there's also a couple of business ones. The Michael Hyatt Start Today Planner is a really good one if you're using it for business. And there are two pages for every day. And then also a brand new one, the Cal Newport Time Block Planner I just got. And his is... It leaves it up to a little bit more personalization than the Michael Hyatt, but it's also a great one for business. So
I need to look at both of these. So do you have them?
I've got a stack.
Guys, mom has seven planners, one for every day. So,
no, and the thing is, my quilting life planner has a specific purpose, but I don't put my dentist appointments in my quilting life planner, you know? So I feel like I still need to, because
you need both.
That's more of an organizational tool that I use to keep track of rulers and patterns and projects. And I love having them all in that one place.
But, yeah.
But yeah, there's so many options out there. I feel like so many options. But I will be definitely doing a blog post on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Okay, so I think we should go into a few questions from the Instagram. Mm. And the first one was, how can you find inspiration when you've lost your sojo? And I was just going to say, a break is good sometimes. It's super healthy for you. I do it all the time. Sometimes I just don't have it in me. And other things you can do is maybe color, maybe draw, maybe journal. Anything that inspires you to maybe go back to quilting later on is my suggestion. So
yeah, that's great. And I feel like for me, if I organize stuff,
yes,
I kind of get my...
You're refreshed.
I'm more refreshed. And if I look through patterns or look through my list, like in my planner, my bucket list of projects that I haven't yet started that I want to do, if I read over those, sometimes I'll get me inspired.
Organization is so good, because then you're like, it's a new me. Right. Like everything feels new. So
right.
Good one.
Good ideas. Okay. The next Instagram question was about breaks in our schedules. And she asked, do you plan breaks into your schedules or do breaks happen naturally? And I loved that question, because I've just been thinking about this a lot lately. And it seems like all of the time management people that I've been listening to are really suggesting that you do plan breaks into your schedules.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. And I can't say I've always been really good at it, but it's now that I've been hearing all of the information about it, it's really important that you do that. So
this was one of my, I'm just going to second you really quickly. Uh-huh. This was one of my favorite questions that was on the list, because I almost had a moment where I was like, I can plan my own breaks and tell the kids, this is me time. This is mom's 15-minute break. Or when I'm working and, you know, I was just kind of laughing because I'm like, yes, we need breaks. It's okay to have a break. Anyways.
Yeah.
I was very excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to start implementing it.
I think it's a great topic. Was also one option is when you're planning your day to put an extra block of time in there that really you don't need to use for anything. That way, if something else runs late, you're not going to get behind.
Yeah, definitely.
But then also to really plan on, hey, I'm going to do this break. I was talking, I actually got a phone call from Lisa Bonjean last week.
Oh my goodness, what?
It was so fun because
just random.
We don't see our Moda designer friends very often now. And it was so weird because I was writing a blog post and I was actually writing about one of her rulers in my blog post, and my phone rings and it's Lisa. And I was like, I'm like, you're not going to believe this. We just got to talking and she had a question for me, and then I racked her brain with a couple of questions. But that's one of the things I asked her. I said, do you schedule breaks? Because I had just been listening to this podcast
funny.
She said she did. She said she plans on breaks.
That would make my day if I'm just sitting there and Lisa Bonjean and all of a sudden pops up on my phone calling. I love that woman. She is a hoot.
I was super excited. It was a good break in my day. So.
Okay, so how to find quilting time in a hectic schedule. I've said this before. Sometimes I just say, okay, every day I'm going to sew for 20 minutes or like 30 minutes. You can set your own time that you think maybe 15 minutes is enough to get a few blocks finished up. And so something I took from mom's advice is to leave something at my sewing machine all the time. And I started doing that. And today I sewed for like maybe 15, 20 minutes and it was great. I got a block done and I was really, really happy about it. So sometimes just a tiny, tiny bit of time is all you need per day.
Right. I completely agree with that. I just think that we have to have in mind what times are usually best for us.
Yeah.
For example, if I were to, you know, time block my week and put all my sewing times in the morning, it just would never work. That's when I have to do emails and shipping. Mm-hmm. And so I've been scheduling my sewing times for the afternoon, hopefully on the days that I can get everything done in the morning, I can sew from 1 to 4. And it's been great because it's been working out. And then I also, on the weekends for me, I always try to sew on Saturdays.
So. Yeah. And I love the difference in time for us, because for mom, maybe like a couple hours is really like, it probably doesn't seem like a lot to her, but, and like, you're very, very busy too. But like with kids too, like 30 minutes is so reasonable for me. So it varies from person to person, which is great because everyone has different, like you said, different time slots in their day that work for them. So
Right. Years ago, I used to only sew in the middle of the night.
Yes.
When all of you guys would go to sleep, I would go sew. But
could hear the sewing machine.
And I know a lot of people try to do a daily make where they try to do something.
I've seen that.
Really fast in the morning. And I feel like I should try to do that. I could run in and sew for 15 minutes every day before I start my computer work.
Yeah.
So.
To start your day off.
Yeah. I think that would be fun. Okay. This was kind of a fun question.
Another good question.
What's on your Christmas wish list? I thought that was so fun to get a question like that, didn't you?
I'm like really excited because I like the personal questions too that are maybe off topic of quilting.
Right.
So I'm just going to go right on it.
Okay.
And say skincare is the number one thing. And I already have a list. It's very dry where we live. And so even with the winter where it's very cold, my skin tends to like crack and get even more dry. So I know, totally off topic, but skincare is like my number one thing that I want for Christmas this year. So,
it is dry here.
So dry.
Our youngest son lives in California and he was here and he just every single day, it's so dry. It's so dry. It's so dry, and when he got home. It was
so funny.
Yeah, and then when he got home, he's like, it's not dry here where I live. So, but yeah, I feel like I'm always looking for a great hand moisturizer that isn't greasy because of quilting. So if anyone out there has any suggestions, I'm still looking. Haven't found the perfect.
The perfect balance.
The perfect balanced moisturizer. And then... my Christmas list? I really like skincare too.
You do. And I get that from you.
Yeah. I love sweaters, but you can only wear them for a couple months here. But
we really enjoy those 2 months where we
get So
the weather is so strange where we live. It is so strange. Like the hottest, driest summers and the most chilling, dry, cold season ever. It's just really strange.
Yeah.
It's a desert chill.
I feel like what's really on my Christmas wish list though is just time to sit down and read a good book.
Yeah.
But, you know, so.
Totally.
Yeah.
Look at you with the sentiment.
Okay. Well.
Okay. So I loved this question too. It says, your scrappy quilts don't look like a mishmash. How can I do that? I need help with scrappy quilts. I feel like we've both made our fair share of scrappy quilts. My biggest suggestion is don't worry so much about when you're putting like your blocks together. Put your blocks together with the fabrics that you've chosen, lay them out, and then take a picture, because the simplest thing you can do to help a scrappy quilt, I feel like, look a little bit better is to just have a great layout. I don't very much worry about the beginning portion. I pick all the fabrics I like. I put them together. I'll take a picture. You can also do it in black and white to get kind of a contrast of the various shades of color. That was something someone else suggested to me. Mm-hmm. But taking a picture for me is super helpful. Then I know what to switch around and what to move around. But I don't worry so much at like the beginning portion of it. I don't know. Do you? Like?
Well, I mean, it kind of depends. I feel like there's two different kinds of scrappy quilts that I make. One that I start out and I know this is a scrap quilt and I pull a bunch of fabrics together. Yeah. And then, like you said, I take a picture and make sure that there's nothing that really catches my eye to pull out. So that's one way. But another way I make scrappy quilts is I often just start making blocks. And in that case, after I've made perhaps a 20% of the blocks, then I'll start taking a picture and seeing, oh, what colors do I need more of? What do I need less of? And that's kind of how I've approached my blockheads quilts and also my block of the month projects on my blog. I will just kind of start for the first few months. And then as it goes on, I'll incorporate the fabrics that I need to.
Yeah.
But again, the camera is key.
Yeah, the camera is key. Yeah. The pictures are. But I like what you said, though, because definitely you have to have a direction when you start. Like, you just need that little direction of kind of what you're going for. But it all comes together, I feel like. You know, yeah, like what you add in, what you need to add in, or maybe take out something that is really throwing it off. So,
And then I feel like another tip for that is you could start by doing a scrappy quilt with fabrics by your favorite designer.
Yes.
And so then
from different fabric lines.
Right. And so then that would kind of ease you into the process.
Yeah.
So or make a scrappy Christmas quilt to where your
reds and greens.
Right. Or scrappy 4th of July and so have a planned either designer or holiday.
That's a great suggestion, because then you'll start to get a good eye for something totally different. Like that's not maybe themed.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, that was a great question. That was a
good question.
So, and I think, well, do we have time for one more tip?
Yes.
Okay.
We have time for one more.
Okay. So this is a good one, because I'm actually making a flannel quilt this week.
Oh,
so
fun.
I was supposed to make it for my youngest son last Christmas. It didn't get made.
But did he bug you about it?
He did. He asked me about it. So I have the fabric. I have the border. Now I have flannel backing. So it's going to be a flannel top with a flannel border with a flannel black backing. So hopefully it's soft enough for him. But anyway, I feel like when you are piecing with flannel, you do want to use simple designs.
Yes.
It is thicker. You don't want to be, I don't feel like you would ever want to do foundation paper piecing with flannel where you have a mariner's compass with, you know, you're just not going to get the accuracy with that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. To me, you said it exactly right. You need a simple design, squares, rectangles, patchwork is like my go-to for flannel.
Right.
And it looks so good with flannel. Like, it's just,
Yeah, and this quilt is just going to be a patchwork flannel variation. Just very simple, because, there is a little more breadth or width or depth to that flannel. And so, and then I feel like with the quilting on it too, when I've done them in the past, I've asked my quilter not to quilt it as densely.
Yeah, no, something a little bit more broad. And,
So
that's, I feel better for it, for the material. So,
And as far as hand quilting, I've tried not to do that because it is more difficult.
Yeah.
So that I can't really give any tips on. I would just not do that. I would.
She's like, don't go there, guys.
So, yeah. So.
Right. Those were great questions for today.
So, yeah, I think. Oh, we did have a.
We had a review.
We had a review.
We had a review.
Yes. This was really recently, too. It was just a week or two ago. Do you want to read it? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So from BKS4Lou, I thoroughly appreciate and enjoy the time listening and or watching Sherry and Chelsea as they share quilting tips and trends. It's delightful to hear this mom/daughter chat about their craft passion and wee insights into their normal family. It's a blessing for all of us. They share so much via Sherry's YouTube channel. Don't miss out. That's so sweet. Thank you so much. Yes,
thank you. We really appreciate the reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. So
thank you.
All right.
Okay, we'll wrap this one up.
Yeah.
Okay, our next
is December 21st.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Monday, December 21st. Yeah. We'll be back. It'll be just a few days before
Christmas.
Then. Yes.
All right. Thanks so much for stopping by.